People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio. The program is People of Note, and Rodney Trudgeon greeting you. Today, I'm pleased to say I have one of Cape Town's, or dare I say the country's, lead comedians in the studio with me, who over a decade in the industry under his belt has written and performed some of the country's most successful comedy shows. And I'm talking about Mark Lottering. Mark has just opened at the Theatre on the Bay with a show called Not a Musical, which is running until the 29th of June. And you may also remember that recently Auntie Merle the musical played at the Baxter Theatre to packed houses and to huge acclaim. And Mark, it's always good to know that you're coming into the studio, and so a warm welcome to People of Note.
Thank you, Rodney. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. You've just finished a run in Johannesburg with this play, haven't you?
That's correct. You know, it's terrifying for any comedian to start a new stand-up show. Always. It never stops being terrifying because it's brand new material, and some of it will work, and some of it won't work, some of it needs to be rearranged. So I came from Thailand and I wrote 60 minutes of my first visit to Thailand, to Phuket, and everything that happened there. And our first stop was Monte Cassino Theatre in Joburg. So, you know, there were a bit of stomach nerves were there, anxiety, everything. But the Joburgers lately have been very nice to me.
Oh,
I mean, even with Auntie Mo and now with this stand-up show, it was so well received. You know, I'm so relieved, and I really had a great time.
So first of all, may I ask you, before we go back to that musical, Not a Musical,
yes,
why were you in Thailand and Phuket? Were you working? Was it a holiday?
No, it was a holiday, and I just finished with, you know, I think we did four seasons of Auntie Merle the musical, and I needed a break because that had gone on for over a year. And so that was the one reason I was in Thailand. And the other reason I chose Thailand was because everybody said it's where the rand still makes sense. And then the third reason was I got annoyed with everyone on Facebook and Instagram having been to Thailand except me. So I thought I would also like to go and type hashtag Thailand, hashtag best holiday ever. So I had an amazing time there.
And what did you think of Phuket, that lovely little island off Thailand?
You know, there are only so many times you can say wow on one holiday. And I said wow a lot until I eventually stopped saying it and just thinking it. I mean, the place, everything you can buy there, everything imaginable, you know. And when I talk about it in this show, I say I'm convinced that Lucifer lives in Bangla Road, Phuket. I talk a lot about that in the show. But I loved Phi-Phi. Because it's one of those places where it looks exactly like the brochure. Okay. It's just beautiful. Yeah. The water's amazing. The food is amazing. Ugh, everything will just make you go, wow.
Was it on this trip to Thailand and Phuket and this that you've just done, that this
yes.
show sort of formulated in your mind, or had it been bubbling under for a while?
I, Peter Turin contacts one quite early on, about what needs to happen the following year. So he basically ordered a stand-up show. He places an order for it. So the way it works with every comedian is there are a million things going around in your head that you want to talk about, but you are quite desperate to get to at least the 60 minutes. And the way for me, I read the newspapers a lot, or I go online, and it's just, South Africa, the material gets old so quickly. Because, you know, in the rest of the world, people can talk about one topic for a long time. But if you're looking at our political situation, wow, like things just change by the minute. You know, today it's Ace Magashule, and who knows who it's going to be next week. So while the material's there, one almost needs to get onto stage, you know, soonest, you know, while it's still fresh. So when I went to Thailand, for a change, I found material there that I thought I could talk about for the entire year, because it's not about something getting stale. You know, I talk about my feelings about the toaster in that room while we're having breakfast. I talk about my feelings of the European travelers who have different outfits in the morning and different outfits in the afternoon. I talk about people trying to sell you the ping pong show when you're in Bangla Road. So So the members of the audience relate to this if they've been. They're screaming loudly, and others are screaming as well because they want to go, or they're yearning, you know, they're just yearning my take on what's happening there. So it was quite, when I came back and I had my notebook and I looked at all of this material, of course, you know, there's always the thing of, is it going to work? Will it be funny? And yes, thank goodness, it is funny, and we are having an amazing time with the show.
So you work with a notebook, Mark. When you are away or even here, you're jotting things down constantly.
Absolutely. You know, I've tried the phone, which is where the world is at, but there's just something about a pen and paper that still turns me on. I even have arguments with my friends about books, you know, because a lot of people are reading their books on their phones or on their laptops. And I quite like a bookmark and the smell of the pages. I really, really
so
like the smell of the pages.
That. You can stay.
Yeah, thank you, Rodney. So that is still my thing. I like making notes on paper. And, you know, and I like the smell of pages. I mean, even if you're flirting with someone at a bar, there's something about writing your phone number on the serviette that just makes that relationship a bit more lasting, even if it's going to last for 3 days only.
Okay, while we ponder that.
Me too, while I ponder on what just came out of my mouth.
Tell me about your first piece of music, Mark.
My first piece of music, Nina Simone, I Put a Spell on You. I just think that everybody should know amazing singers, you know, no matter from which generation you are. And this is one of those people, Nina Simone. Everyone should be introduced to the music of Nina Simone at some point in their lives. And this is one of my favorite songs of Nina Simone.
It is a lovely voice, isn't it, Mark? Nina Simone and a piece called I Put a Spell on You. I always remember the first thing I heard from Nina Simone, I think like everybody else, my maybe don't care for you.
Yes.
Which put her on the map, didn't it?
Yes, indeed. Certainly for my generation as well.
Yeah. Mark Lottering is my guest here on People of Note on Fine Music Radio this week. He is at the Theatre on the Bay with a show called Not a Musical. Now, in the ad, Mark, you say it's called Not a Musical because it's Moss. Not a musical.
It's not a musical.
So what is it actually? It's a stand-up. Why did you say it's not a musical? I mean, obviously it's not a musical.
I said that because we had just come off Auntie Merle, the musical. And, you know, and the show debuted in Joburg, the stand-up show. So I just wanted to make it clear that this had nothing to do with the musical. Because I have different camps of fans. Because I would do lineup shows with comedians in the lineup, comedy festivals, or I may do a musical, or I may be involved in a musical comedy, or and then I do stand-up. And there are people who will only come for specific things.
Oh, really?
So I think, you know, many years ago, I did my first show 21 years ago when I just walked up to a microphone and just did comedy. And there are people to this day who won't come and see anything else. They don't want to see me in a lineup. They don't want to see me in a musical. They don't want to see me in a play. They want the microphone on stage, no piano, and they want to listen to me talk for 80 minutes. And that's how they fell in love with me, and that's what they want. So if I stay away from doing that for too long, you know, because of social media, we are all so accessible, people let me know. So this show was for those people as well. They were like, it's time for the microphone and the pure stand-up. No pantyhose, no heels, no kopdoek, no antimol, no collie, no taxi gachi, just me. So it's called not a musical because every comedian's always looking for some sexy title to their show. I said to someone this morning in an interview, my favorite part of any show is coming up with the title and the artwork for the poster. And then, of course, the challenge is the words on the A4 page. But it's just a playful title. I think the wonderful thing about being a stand-up comedian is you can go in any direction with your title, you know, because people just expect it to be frivolous or, you know, they won't take it very seriously.
So of all those genres that you have these various camps, Mark,
yes,
do you have a favorite or do you love them all?
Rodney, it was my dream, and so many people listening, I'm sure I'm not alone in, you know, when you're young, you firmly believe that you are Shirley Bassey. Other people just need to discover that.
Oh, I see. And even me.
Yes. And Shirley Bassey is a fraud because I am Shirley Bassey. So, so you believe that. And I've for years, because I grew up in the church, and the church in which I grew up, there was a lot of singing involved, and a live band every Sunday. So everybody used to sing. There was a piano in the church, and everybody played the piano, and in our home there was a piano. So you, nobody, you know, everybody encourages you to sing and do whatever you want to do. And then I grew older, and I met real singers. And quickly you realize, oh dear, one needs to be able to carry a whole note. So I started out, I auditioned for, you know, to get, and I did a couple of musicals at Artscape, like Ain't Misbehaving, which now I look back, I thought, goodness me, what on earth was I doing? That was an absolute fluke. Did Jesus Christ Superstar. So I did a few musicals, but whilst doing those things, I realized that I really was trying my luck here, because, you know, to be a great singer, you know, to be phenomenal, when you hear phenomenal people, you do sit back and go, wow.
Like Shirley Bassey.
Thanks for pointing that out. So I worked in an ad agency while all of this was going on as well, and I met copywriters. I fell in love with people who were writing stories. And then I soon realized that I really enjoyed writing stories. And I remember at high school, teachers loving my essay writing and passing it around the class. And then, you know, I realized that I enjoyed writing funny stories. And I thought, well, why don't I tell these funny stories? And my good friend Marianne Tam encouraged me to go onto a stage and stand behind a microphone and tell funny stories.
Can you remember that very first time you did that?
Yes.
Quite vividly.
Vividly. I was 30. I was 30 years old. It was on my 30th birthday on the 4th of December, and that was 21 years ago. And under the guise of a birthday party, so I invited my friends, but I also hired a mic stand and a microphone. I had two shots of tequila, and Marianne pushed me to the front of the venue. And I said, before the party starts, quiet everyone. And then I told these stories that I told her. And the owner of that coffee shop, it's closed now, it was called the Coffee Lounge. And the owner was a gentleman who's passed on, Mr. Brian Weinrank, came up to me and said, can you come back here for the next 2 weeks and tell the same stories? I think people will pay to hear this. And that's what I did, and I never went back to the office.
And that launched you.
I never went back to the office.
Okay, we're going to have another piece of music now. Mark, what is your next piece?
My next piece of music is by a gentleman called Bruno Mars. It's a song called When I Was Your Man. I love this song because when I sing it in my key in the shower, then I believe that I'm doing it a little bit better than Bruno Mars.
Okay.
And
I'm
moved by the emotions in my in my vocals when I do this song. But it's a beautiful song, beautiful tune by the very talented Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars, When I Was Your Man. There you are. I can imagine you singing that in the shower, I think, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark Lottring, my guest, chose it. His famous shower song. Mark Lottring's show, Not a Musical, is at the Theatre on the Bay as we speak. And, you know, talking about this show being not a musical, that show, Auntie Merle, the musical,
Yes. Was
apparently, I didn't see it at all. Terrified to say that, was a huge success. Everyone raved about it and said, yes, you must go and see it. Can I just ask a naive question? Did you write all the music as well for the show?
I wrote the script, the story, the songs. There were 22 songs. I wrote 11 of them, and 11 of them were written by Taryn Lamb, who's just a phenomenal singer and songwriter. And she was also the lead in the first two seasons of the musical. Mm-hmm. So we had 14 actors. and a live band. It was quite something.
It's quite a production.
It was quite a production. I promise you, you don't sleep because you do pray that people will come and watch this thing so you can at least break even. But we were so astounded by people were just celebrating. That's what it was. It turned into a celebration.
Yeah. And Mark, you mentioned just now how important posters are. And when one sees a picture of you on a poster or in a magazine, you always have this really open smile, a friendly smile. And I think that makes people feel quite good. Because sometimes comedians pull funny faces or give funny looks.
Yeah.
But you've got this open sort of smile. And I think it is an exact copy of your life. You're a nice person.
I think I'm a very nice person, Rodney. Yes, I think I have to agree with you. You know, it's a strange thing because people almost want me to... Some people are almost disappointed when they meet you and they discover that you're a nice person because it's no longer cool to be nice. You know, it's you've got to have a dark side underneath this, particularly with comedians, because when you listen to us talk, comedians, and we send situations up or we talk about, it does come from a place of being annoyed or being bitter, because you know the formula generally is, don't you hate it when you know you're looking for a parking space, or don't you hate it when you're putting your change into the parking machine and it keeps dropping out and the queue's getting longer behind you, you know, or don't you hate it when the cashier at the supermarket is reading your newspaper just after she scanned it. So,
and everyone can relate to these things.
Everyone can relate because we've all been annoyed.
Absolutely.
So if you walk around all the time with, you know, don't you hate it when, you can come home with quite a dark energy at the end of the day. But I think that for me, you know, I'm lucky enough not to take those things on. Because I think for many of us, you know, whether you want to or not, you take stuff on. And I try not to. I firmly believe that you get one shot at this life. So the choices that we make in terms of who we surround ourselves with, how we're going to react to situations, what we give out in traffic. I mean, I've started this thing now for 2 years. I've decided not to ever hoot. because you'll be
it
amazed.
Must be quite a challenge.
It's a challenge, but you'll be amazed what a trigger it is. When somebody hoots at you, it's, you know, people just respond and you can just feel that aggression. And I've decided not to do that, and I've encouraged friends of mine as well. You know, if you see someone, some obnoxious person doing something weird in traffic, just don't hoot. The moment will pass. Nobody's going to swear at anybody. Nobody's going to get any kind of finger signs that you don't want. And your energy is going to be a whole lot better when you get to your meeting or your family or wherever you're supposed to go. So little things like that I try to do. And I think, so there's, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of, it doesn't take a lot of effort to smile. And the interesting thing is sometimes I go to photo shoots and I think, no. You know, Rodney's just told me that he sees me smiling all the time. Today I want to be cool. And this has happened to me where I go, this photo shoot, I want to try and be cool, get into a great atmosphere, maybe even look down, you know, with the light just hitting the right side of your face and try to look like you're on the cover of some rock album. And I know it's happening. I can feel the magazine editors are in the room. They're waiting for the smile. So, and then I just like open and show the teeth. And then like, yeah, that's the one. It's a wrap, guys. You got. So now I don't waste time, you know, do the smile. Because that's how I feel anyway. And I certainly think, politically and otherwise, the world can do with some happiness. It's
absolutely
the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think let's just take a little pause here, Mark, for another piece of music before we continue about the art of the comedian and smiling. What have you got for us this time?
Oh, wow. This is my Sunday afternoon music. It's Stevie Wonder, you know, and this is because there are few songs that we actually know all the lyrics to, and there are many songs that we think we know the lyrics to. But this one I do, and it's like, and if you've poured that whiskey with some ice, you know, and you're like, lately I've been staring in the mirror, very slowly picking me apart, been trying to tell myself I have no reason with your heart. See, I know. And this is that Sunday afternoon whiskey song, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
No vivid reason here to find. Yet the thought of losing you's been hanging round my mind. Far more frequently you're wearing perfume. With you say no special place to go. But when I ask, will you be coming back soon? You don't know, never know. Well, I'm a man of many wishes. Hope my premonition misses. But what I really feel, my eyes won't let me hide. Cause they all. Slowly picking me apart, trying to tell myself I had no reason with your heart. Just the other night while you were sleeping, I vaguely heard you whisper someone's name. But when I ask you of the thoughts you're keeping, you just say, nothing's changed. Well, I'm a man of many wishes. I hope my premonition misses what I really feel. My eyes won't let me hide, cause they all.
Stevie Wonder, that was your actual Stevie Wonder, having heard Mark do him just before
yes.
that. Lately it was the piece, and it was another choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note, Mark Lottering. His show Not a Musical is running at the Theatre on the Bay, Peter Doreen's Theatre on the Bay. You know, when you were talking about smiling and all these things and what
yes.
people expect from you, I often ask a comedian this, do you ever find it irritating that some people want you to be funny all the time? That if you meet them in the supermarket or in the street or in a restaurant, They kind of expect you to crack a joke, but you're not on duty.
They expect that, so you've also got to understand it. I'm fully aware of the fact that for many people, it's the first time that they're seeing me not on their phones or not on their TV screen. So it's a big deal for them.
Okay.
And I think if you always remember that, you will be understanding and patient with people, because I remember when I first went to Joburg and I was sitting at a restaurant on Nelson Mandela Square and I saw an actor from Isidingo at another table. And I sat there and I went, I know this person. And then he looked up to me and I was like, hi. And I like wanted to hug him because I felt I knew that. And then I realized as my entire body turned maroon that it was an actor from Isidingo. It wasn't actually someone who I knew. And I never forget that feeling. So for many people, it's, you know, when they see you, they're just overjoyed. But I do have to say the only times that I do feel strange is if I have to be in Joburg on a particular day and I take a 6 a.m. flight, and that happens often, which means that you're boarding at 5:30 in the morning and someone's sliding up to you at 5:30 in the morning for the selfie. That picture is going to live forever. Now, if you see me at 5:30 in the morning, it's not the way I want the world to see me. I haven't fixed the hair yet. The conditioner, the leave-in conditioner, can only do so much for you. And so, you know, I think your face only wakes up kind of, you know, just after 8 in the morning. So that is a little bit odd for me, the really early morning stuff. Also, if you've been out the night before and you got too festive, and you get dropped at the airport, and you can still taste some of the whiskey or the shooters or the vodka, and then somebody comes up to you, and they've been looking forward all their lives to meeting you, and they've got little kids, and they want you to hug the kids, and then you open your mouth, and you can see the surprise and the shock from the parent to go, shame. Oh, my word, it smells like New Year's Eve here. So early mornings could be a little bit dodgy.
Okay.
One has to plan ahead.
No, but it sounds as though you do your fans well. You know why they're doing this, and you're prepared to indulge them, in fact, and let them take selfies, as long as it's not 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you know what, Rodney? I'm only sitting here talking to you because after so many years, people are still going to the box office, opening their purse, opening their wallet, and coming to spend some time with me. That's the only reason I can still be sitting here chatting to you. So I will never, I'll never ever take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that translates to the person at the airport or on the street coming to say hello.
Yeah.
It's about love and support.
Absolutely. And Mark, this character you came up with, Auntie Merle,
yes.
Just tell me a little bit about her and how you actually developed her. Because she's not as much of a, she's not like Peter Dirk Ace's Evita.
Yes.
It's not like your alter ego, is it? It's just
no.
A character
yeah.
that you bring up now and again.
You know, my mother was, my late mother was a really entertaining person and a comedian, and of course she didn't know it. But I would eavesdrop on my mom's conversations with her friends when they came over to visit. And because my father was a pastor of a church, so my parents were quite religious, and my mom and her friends would come over and they'd have a prayer meeting where they would just, and then later on they would just have a discussion about, you know, they'd say that it's not a skinner, they're just sharing,
yeah.
You know, about other people's lives so they know what to pray for.
Yeah.
So I grew up around all of that wonderful color, you know, and it really, I found it to be very entertaining. So when I had to come up with this character, Auntie Merle, you know, we placed her in Athlone because I think that Belgravia Road Athlone would be familiar and recognizable to many Cape Townians. And she just spoke. And people screamed for two reasons. Half of them screamed because it was funny, and the other half screamed out of sheer embarrassment because they would go, no, no, no. It's like you're inviting people into your home and we're not supposed to be there because that's my mother or that's my aunt. And then, you know, and the character just grew and grew. And I've created 6 characters over the years, and I think that character has really become very popular. And the interesting thing about that character is when I used to do a lot of shows abroad for the expats, and New Zealand, Toronto, Australia in particular used to be my regular visits if I left the country, because there were so many South Africans living there. There are. And they would bring the locals in, their friends who they've met who'd never been to South Africa. And people, for example, you do a show at the Soho Theatre in London and they wait for you afterwards and they go, yes, we got lost with some of the references because you have to cater for the expats because they want to hear some local references. But they will tell you there's an Auntie Mill everywhere in the world. There's a hustler like Shmiley the Taxi Gachi everywhere in the world. There's a cashier like Colleen the Cashier everywhere. There's a wannabe pop star like Galatia everywhere in the world. So our characters, you know, they stand. And I think it's true for everyone. You know, we'd like to think that we are unique in terms of what's going on in our lives, in our homes, but it happens everywhere. We all laugh and we all cry is the bottom line.
Indeed. And I think I'm right in saying that you don't make people cry. You make people laugh.
I hope to make them cry with laughter.
Can you give us a sample of what Auntie Mill sounds like, or is it a secret for the show, which you're welcome if you don't want to, not to?
You know, Rodney, it's very hard to do it without pantyhose and so forth. But, you know, I'm so happy to be here in the studio with you. And, you know, you're such a lovely person. You remind me of one of my brothers. You know, he's also from Athlone, but he's fair. You know, and he also had light eyes. I mean, in the old days, he would have passed for one of you people. That's how good looking he is. So it warms my heart to be sitting here. And next time, Rodney, I come. I can see you look a little bit hungry. I'm going to bring a slice of lemon meringue just to keep you happy and put a smile on your face. You know, I'm now so happy to be here.
Thank you, Auntie Mo. Mark. Your next piece of music, Michael Jackson. Good heavens, I don't know when last we had Michael Jackson.
I bet you don't know. Yes, Michael Jackson, because we all grew up with him, and it was and I actually saw Michael Jackson live, like so many Cape Townians, when he came to Greenpoint Stadium. So it was kind of one of my first big concerts of like a person out there in the world, a massive star. And the song that I chose is called She's Out of My Life, because I used to work as an usher at the Baxter Theatre for many, many years.
Oh.
And we had a show for ushers. Well, the cast was ushers, and we would do a big show, which still stands out as a massive moment. And then we had the piano on stage, and this was one of the ballads that I sang in that show. And after I did this ballad, I was like a very important usher, because the other ushers really respected me after this.
Well, let's hear Michael Jackson sing it now.
She's out of my indecision and cursed pride. I kept my love for her locked deep inside, and it cuts like a knife. She's out of my love.
Michael Jackson, there you are. Out of My Life is the name of that song. And it was another choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Mark Lottering. His show, Not a Musical, is running at the Theatre on the Bay until the 29th of June. And as you say in your advert for us, Mark, you'll be so cross if you don't go and see it.
Absolutely. You'll be furious with yourself if you miss this show.
You know, we were talking about Auntie Merle, the musical, and you said you had to take this break going to Thailand and all that.
Yes.
Is she likely to come back, or are you going to spruce her up? Or
she's coming back. You know, in the first season, the story is that Merle's daughter was getting married, and it was quite a big deal in Athlon because the daughter got married to a chap from Bantry Bay. So the Bantry Bay family and the Athlon family had to get together to plan this wedding. And the differences, we played around those where... Because the Bantry Bay family says, you know, the guest list, they're pushing it max to 120 people. And Merle shrieks with laughter and says, ridiculous, that's just the catering staff. So they want their 650 people. So the couple's married, and so the sequel is called Auntie Merle, It's a Girl.
Okay.
So there's the promise of this new life. From Athlon and Bantry Bay in one beautiful human being. So that's what that's the premise of the second show. And that debuts, I think we preview the 22nd of November at the Baxter Theatre.
So are you frantically writing, or have you written the songs? Is it done? Or
I'm doing that, and I'm redoing stuff. You know, the writing never stops, and my style has always been, you know, until I'm completely happy, even when a show is underway. I've never, I've learned that from David Kramer, because I've worked with David Kramer. David's directed some of my shows. And one of the things that I've noticed about David Kramer, he never explicitly said to me, but if he's not happy with something, don't be, you can change it, you know, until it's excellent. So that's how I've approached things. And Auntie Merle is directed by Lara Foote, the first one. And the sequel, Auntie Merle, It's a Girl, will also be directed by Lara Foote. And that's also been amazing, because nobody would think Lara Foote and comedy. And even when we first spoke, you know, the joke that I had with Lara was, please, you know, don't get too deep or profound. I don't want anyone rolling in the mud and beating their chest and looking for a metaphor of what pain is really all about behind laughter.
Oh,
and
right. Yes,
she,
yes.
She basically told me to get a life. And she said, I can also be fun, Mark. And we've had an amazing time, and we have a great relationship.
Mark, would you ever take a serious role? Is that a stupid question?
It was considered once, and then I think in, like, you know, those things you do when it's just a reading and you invite, I have a small invited group of people in to this play. And it didn't really work, I think, on two levels, because I didn't believe it. So I was almost hiding in the very reading of this whole thing, because you kind of think, you know, I'm in over my head here. What am I trying to do? And it's hard for people as well to make the journey.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
You know, to sit there and to make the journey that this is Mark Lottering, the comedian, but now he's not going to be funny. And then this isn't a character, and it is a character, but it's a serious character. So one of Mark's characters. So I think the closest I kind of got to branching out of my comfort zone was with Scrooge. The Baxter Theatre had Scrooge one year, also directed by Lara Foote. with Andrew Buckland, and it was and that was an amazing experience for me. But even then, you know, the director tried to make it as comfortable as possible for me, also not to disappoint the fans, but still to kind of stick with the Dickens story and with the Scrooge story. So it was easy to combine that, you know, and still to make the character funny somehow.
But then you smiled in and it just, everything
I
just
smiled and I lifted my nighty and I showed my kneecaps and, well, there it was.
Ruined everything.
Yeah.
Just quickly before you go, Mark, and I always like asking people this when I've chatted to them, when you're away from the stage and working and they're making notes, I suppose you never are really, how do you relax? Clearly you enjoy a Sunday afternoon sipping a whiskey like
yes,
I do.
Yes, that's a big thing
are
for
you,
me.
Do you cook things? Do you go for walks? Do you relax?
I think I can cook if it like involves chicken or putting stuff in the oven, you know, that I can do. So I love cooking. I totally adore eating with friends. Mm. Going out to restaurants and, you know, you have my heart if you're taking me along with you to a Thai restaurant or to an Indian restaurant, then you can get anything you want from me. So that's my favorite thing. And then during the week, I do love walking. I call it a bit of a trot, a little bit of a walk run. You know, when one's got to take care of oneself when you know, the older you get. So I love doing that as well. So I try to look after myself and, you know, to eat right, look good during the week. And then, you know, if I've got some weekends off or days off, I certainly like spending them with friends. And the other favorite thing, the movies in the morning. You've got to treat yourself to a movie. 9:30 in the morning, the best time to go to the movie theater. So I love watching a good film as well.
Mark, what's happening after Not a Musical? Anything you can tell us?
I think people just need to go to marklotching.com. I promise I'll update that website today still. and then the dates for, because the Not a Musical, you know, the tickets have been selling so well at Theatre on the Bay. So people have been asking, will it go to other venues as well thereafter if they've missed it? If you can't get a ticket at Theatre on the Bay, positions. Theatre on the Bay, it's a great date night, I think, to just be out there. And if you can't get tickets for that, go on to marklotching.com and see where else you can catch the show before October still.
Okay. Mark, what is your last piece of music before I let you go?
My last piece of music is by Aletta Adams, a beautiful, beautiful song with the most wonderful lyrics of such a wonderful tune. And it's called Get Here. And when you listen to the song, just think of me asking you to go to CompuTicket. Get Here.
There you go. Salesman you have to be as well. Mark, it's been a joy talking to you.
Thank you,
I haven't
Rodney.
Seen the show yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's been wonderful chatting to you. Thanks so much.
And I'm sure you'll come again. All the very best to you, Mark.
Thank you. Dreams we walk to roam.
get here. You care. Simply magnificent. Olita Adams.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
Hi, this is Mark Lottering. So I've picked up a pen and written some new jokes, and I'd like you to part with very little cash and come and laugh at them, please, for like a whole 80 minutes at Peter Turin's Theatre on the Bay from the 12th to the 29th of June. It's called Not a Musical because it's most not a musical. I'm going to wear a tie pin and everything. You're going to be so upset if you miss this. Book now. Theatre on the Bay. From the 12th to the 29th of June. FMR.